can't sing, this old world can never hold me. Praise God.
Glory.
We just want to thank everyone that's been praying for Brother Jeff Stott. He's home. And we thank the Lord. We want to pray also for Matthew's uncle. He's not good. He's lost half a leg. He's lost a toe. And things are not looking good. And he needs to get saved and get right with God. What's his first name, Karen?
James.
James. So we want to pray for James this morning as well. Praise God. Let's sing this, praise God. This old world can never hold me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You glad you're saved?
Amen.
Tell you, I'm glad I'm saved.
Glory.
Praise God. Let's sing it, praise God.
Oh, this old world can never hold me.
Bibles to Matthew 24, and I want to take for the text today, Jesus may come today. And I want to say this morning, a lot of the people are saying, this year has to happen, this year has to happen. That's not true according to the Bible. Nothing has to happen. The Lord could come today. There's not another scripture needs to be fulfilled. There's not another thing needs to take place. Jesus never laid the emphasis on any of them things. But he laid the emphasis all through the Bible. Be ready, for you know not when. Be ready, for you know not when. He's going to come unexpectedly. The coming of the Lord is imminent. The Lord could come today. Let's read this, Matthew 24, verse 42 to 44. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Let's bow our heads this morning, and if you have a need, just raise your hand to the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. God bless each one. Gracious and our eternal God, we bow before you this morning in the precious and lovely name of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you are a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. We thank you, Lord, that you've went beyond the veil.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, you rent the veil from the top to the bottom. And the way is made today.
Hallelujah.
Into the holiest of holies. The new and living way. Through the precious blood of the Lamb. Father, we would come pleading the merits of the precious blood. We would say, wash me afresh in the blood of the Lamb. And I shall be whiter than the snow. Purge me and I shall be like hyssop. Sanctify me and I'll praise your name. Fill us afresh through your spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Father, I ask for every hand that's raised this morning in this room. Pray you'll meet every need in the name of Jesus. Pray, Lord, that you'll answer every prayer. We thank you, Lord, for Jeff's dad. We pray you'll continue to strengthen him.
Amen.
And touch them and bless them and heal them in the name of the Lord. We pray for James McDonald this morning. Lord, we ask for mercy for him. We pray the Holy Ghost will work on him and you'll bring him to salvation in Jesus Christ's name. Father, we would ask for any others this morning that's maybe laid aside sick. May you touch them and heal them in the name of the Lord. May you make them whole in the name of the Lord. Pray for Brother John as well. You give him perfect liberty.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name.
Hallelujah.
We ask here this morning you'll speak to their hearts.
Thank you.
We pray you'll make this word live before us. Know, God, that you'll do your people good and strengthen them and bless them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Bless from the youngest to the oldest. Every boy, every girl, every man, every woman. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you, Lord, you do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want you to keep your finger in Matthew 24. And I just want to make a real emphasis. You say, brother, is there not a lot of things to be preached about the race? And I'm going to mention a lot of them. But we are pre-millennialists. That means we believe there's going to be a rapture. Is that the right way I'm saying it, brother? You get in trouble, you know. We believe in a rapture. There's a lot of people today, and they believe they're going to go straight up and come straight down. Well, I have news for you. I'm not coming straight down. Because when me and the wife got married, we went off for a honeymoon. And when me and the Lord gets married and we'll meet him in the air, there's going to be a honeymoon and we're going. And we're going home to heaven and we're going to have a honeymoon. And that's the Bible. Now, there's a lot of people don't preach that, but they can preach whatever they want. I'm going to preach the Word of God. Now, I want you to watch these scriptures because I believe this is the most simplest and most important fact about it all. And people are not preaching it. That the Lord could come anytime. That's the most important thing. That the Lord could come at any time. Matthew 25 and 13. You keep your finger in 24. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Watch therefore. So the Lord is warning us to watch. You don't know the day and you don't know the hour. Jesus could come today.
Amen.
In Mark 13. Verse 33 to 7. Take ye heed, watch and pray. Now I want to read a few of these scriptures before we get into it. Take ye heed, watch and pray, if ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to servants and every man his work, and commanded the partner to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. So Jesus could come the night, he'd come in the morning, and you hear people say he won't come at night, he'll come in the morning. Nonsense. What would happen here in Australia? You were here. It could be one place night and one place morning. So the idea of that's nonsense. That we've just read that, morning or night, but he's coming. And you don't know when he's coming. No man know of the day any they are. Now people are preaching, when we do this and when we do this, we'll go. No Bible for that. Not a scripture for it. If that was the case, then you could prepare yourself and set a date. You can't. I don't know if you heard about it or read about it recently, but they found a fella. And he was hid away for 9 years with family. They rescued them. They were down in the basement somewhere with food and a load of stuff. 9 years they'd been in there because he believed it was the end of the world. 9 years in a basement, hid away with food and stuff. And didn't Jesus warn if they say he's in the desert, go not out. If they say he's in the secret chamber, believe it not. No man knows the day nor the hour. I hear a lot of people saying, we know when the Lord's coming. You don't know. For the Bible says only the Father knows.
Amen.
only he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch.
Amen.
So Jesus could come today, so we need to be ready today. There's no point saying I'll get ready for tomorrow. The Lord could come today. The Lord wants us ready right now. Right now, the Lord wants us ready. Luke 12, verse 40. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. He come at an hour when you think not. Nobody knows the hour when the Lord will come, but it's coming as imminent. He's coming. He is coming. This is a subject that needs to be preached. The coming of the Lord. This is a subject we need to hear about.
Amen.
The unsaved need to hear the Lord's coming. Because if they're not ready, they're not going. We need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7 and 20. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of prophecy of this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Now, I missed out, but you could go back because I don't want to get way late from what I really want to preach. But you could go into the seas. You could go into where he said, seal up the book till the end time. Then these things shall be known. Well, they've already been known. All these things today are fulfilled. All these things he talked about are known. We're not waiting on them to be fulfilled, they're being fulfilled. Israel's a nation. She's back in her homeland. These things are fulfilled. The coming of the Lord is imminent. Jesus could come today. Yes, the Lord Jesus may come today. The coming of Christ to earth is imminent. It may occur at any moment, day or night. There's not a single event prophesied in the Bible which has come to pass before the Savior returns. People concentrate a lot on prophecy, and that's good, I believe in that. But the main thing is to be ready. Be ready for the coming of the Lord. Listen, not a single thing. You say, brother, I can show you scriptures as being fulfilled. You could if you mix up Israel and the church. And that's the problem today. People are taking scriptures for Israel and placing it to the church, and it's mixed up. It's not the church. There's a difference in Israel and the church. How many knows what I'm talking about? The scriptures that relate to the millennial reign has nothing to do with us. They're not for us. They're for the Jews and the millennial reign. But these scriptures are for us that Jesus is telling us. Be ready.
Yes, amen.
For the coming of the Lord could be at any time. Just be ready.
Right.
You know, when you go to the book of Acts, everybody reads the book of Acts. But the thing that blesses me more than anything, and this might be strange to you, the thing that blesses me in the book of Acts more than anything is they ask Jesus, we need to know the times and the seasons. And Jesus says, you forget about all that. Get about the work.
Amen.
That's more or less what he's saying.
Amen.
Don't concern yourselves with times and seasons. Get on with the work.
Amen.
That's what he said to them. People can be so caught up with other things they don't get on with the work. And they want you to join this group and join this group. And God doesn't want you to join any group. He wants you to come into Christ.
Amen.
Come into Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the only one with eternal life. No group. Doesn't matter what group it is either. As far as we know, no event, either political, ecumenical, or spiritual, needs to occur before Jesus comes. You say, well, this will have to happen. No. The Lord could come tonight. Brexit won't stop the coming of the Lord. The politicians not meeting in Stormont won't stop the coming of the Lord. Wars and rumors of wars won't stop the coming of the Lord. These things Jesus said are determined to the end.
Right.
Jesus could come today.
Yes,
no spiritual condition. We know the spiritual condition. Not another war needs to be declared. Not another gospel sermon needs to be preached. You mean it? Yes, Jesus could come before another one's preached. You know, someday people are going to hear the last sermon. Someday people are going to hear the last message. Because Jesus is really coming. And this is the thing that people don't really get. The Lord is coming again. And there's so many scriptures refer to the second coming of the Lord more than his first coming. And he did come when he was born in a manger, and he's coming again.
Amen.
And he says to his disciples at any time.
Right.
So you can calculate years and dates and months and all these things, and we have so great men that's done it in the bull field. Because no man knows the day that they are. He's coming. Jesus Christ simply told us, look for his coming. All these scriptures we read simply warn us that Jesus Christ could come anytime. Jesus warned, watch and pray. Since we know not what hour or day the Lord will come, we need to watch and pray. Watch and pray.
Amen.
If we don't know what hour the Lord will come. Here's my first thought. Christ's imminent return is clearly stated by Christ himself. This is a doctrine of Jesus Christ. This is not a doctrine of any organization or any church. This doctrine I'm going to preach to you is a doctrine that Jesus himself preached. So I'm going to preach it. There's people preaching doctrines that Jesus never preached. There's people preaching doctrines that there's not even in this Bible. But this is a doctrine Jesus preached. This is a doctrine Jesus told the disciples about. He preached it in Matthew, he preached it in Mark, he preached it in Luke, he preached it in Mark, he preached it in the book of Acts, he preached it in James, he preached it in Jude, he preached it in Revelation, he preached it all through the Bible. But people don't want to preach it. But they want to preach doctrines of man. But this is a doctrine Jesus preached. Christ's imminent return. It's clearly stated by the Lord himself. The Bible is full of teaching about the second coming of Christ and related events. Listen to these. Those of us who take the Bible literally and believe it and all that there is, therefore we're premillennialists. Premillennialists means you believe you're going to go in a rapture. That the Lord's going to take you. You're going to go. We're not going to the tribulation. Why, brother? Because we believe Romans 8. What's Romans 8? There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. God does not need to put you through a tribulation to judge you, because Jesus was judged for you on the cross 2,000 years ago. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? A lot of people believe they're going to go through the tribulation. Well, I don't believe that. And I don't believe the Bible says I am. And I don't believe either this nonsense that many are preaching. We'll go straight up and come straight down and into the millennium. That's contrary to the Bible. They're mixed up. I'm sorry, but they're mixed up. They're mixing scriptures. And a lot of people preach it. They're preaching it. I'm going home to be with the Lord.
Amen.
It's going to be a honeymoon period. That's the Bible. We're going to go to be with the Lord. Now listen to these things this morning. We believe in this. We're expecting a literal body change, physical return of Christ. Now, there's another side to this. People are preaching the Lord's come. We've saw the Lord's appearing. All right, I'll agree with you. The Lord's appearing. But that's not still the second coming of the Lord. Because if that's the second coming of the Lord, we've all missed the rapture. So the people that are claiming we're God's elect, and the Lord came and they set a date, then they missed it. When Jesus Christ comes and we meet him in there, we're going.
Amen.
The Word of God says we're going. We're going to read it now in a moment. It's 1 Thessalonians 4:16. We'll read from verse 14. We believe in the physical return of Christ and his reign upon the earth as foretold in Scripture. We have much to preach about. We have the great themes of the resurrection, the rapture, the meeting in the earth. Now I'm going to name all these different themes we can preach about. There's a lot of them. of all, let's read 1 Thessalonians. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
All right.
Did you read your Bible the same as mine? If he's bringing them with him, they're in heaven. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
People that's born again are in heaven. Paul the Apostle said, absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Amen.
They're in heaven. There's a form somewhere, wherever they're buried, but their souls are in heaven with the Lord. But the Lord's bringing them with him.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
I want you to be encouraged this morning. Look at verse 15. For if we say unto you, we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The graves are going to open. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we're not meeting him on the earth, we're meeting him in the air.
Amen.
And you, but brother, what about the Mount Olive? That's a different thing. Now you're after the rapture. Now you're coming back with him after the bride, after the rain, before the rain. This is way before that.
Amen.
We're going to go on this catching up, the rapture, it's called. And you know it was a brother man first preached this. Now a priest invented the name. It was a Jesuit priest that invented the name rapture. And you know there's not a verse in the Bible for you can find the word rapture, not one verse. How many knows that? None of us. But you can't find catching away. You can find caught up. You can find meeting in there. But the word rapture just means caught away. That's all it means. But you see, people could argue over anything, couldn't they? But it does mean caught away. The catching away. I think we do use that a lot, and it's good because it's the Bible. Catching away. And the Lord's going to take us. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, brethren, comfort one another with these words. So we have much to preach about because we're premillennialists. We can preach about the rapture. Now here's some other things. The judgment seat of Christ. The great tribulation. The man of sin and the Antichrist. The glorious return of Christ with the saints and the angels. That's before the millennial reign. Because we're going to be raptured. We're going to go to be with the Lord. Some people believe 3.5 years. Some people believe 7 years. We believe 3.5. Because he says he's cut off in the midst of the week. And Christ was cut off in the midst of the week. At least 3.5 years. It's simple. 3.5 years is left to the church. And we're going to go to be with the Lord for 3.5 years. And there's going to be a honeymoon. Now I know people preach we're married now to the Lord. And it's all already happened. But I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I'm going with him. And I know that we've took the Lord's name now. I believe that. But there's still going to be a honeymoon. And I don't care what anybody thinks about it. It's happening. Because it's the Bible. Isn't it great when you go off? Some of you are not smiling too well. Now you know it is. It's great, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise God. It's need to go again, well.
Glory.
Amen. Kenny, are you glad, brother, when we're going with the Lord?
Amen.
I'm glad when I'm going to go with the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to get a new body.
Glory.
This old bald head will be bald no more.
Amen.
I'm getting all my hair back.
Glory.
Praise God. The Bible says the hairs of my head's numbered.
Right.
Now how would you figure that now? You'd have to go back when I was at your age. Got a whole lot there, but not now. Praise God. Most people think I shave my head. I don't need to shave it. Dish cloth does it. Just to wipe over it. You young fellas be glad you've hair. See, in that cold morning like that, you need good hair. We stand her. But look, the judgment seat of Christ, the great tribulation, the man of sin, the Antichrist, The glorious return with Christ with the saints. Now, after there's a rapture, and after we have the honeymoon period, we're coming back with the Lord. And we're going to stand on the Mount of Olivet, and just split in two. And that's for the ships of the nations will come up every year. Oh, it's glorious. There's a lot of stuff here, you know, that's to happen. People think there's nothing to the gospel. There's a lot to it. And it's wonderful. Look. Then you have the Battle of Armageddon, the restoration of the Jews to Palestine, the judgment of the living nations, the millennial reign of Christ on David's throne. And all these things matter. And they need to be preached, for they are clearly taught in the Bible. But very strangely, we often neglect the greatest theme in connection with the Savior's coming. And that is that his coming is imminent. All these things are great. All these things are important. But the most important thing to warn people is that Jesus should come today. People need to know the Lord could come today. You could go over the top with all these theories, and I know that. There's people could spend hours and months, and it's good. We need that. I believe in that. But people need to hear that Jesus could come today. And they need to be ready. Ready for the coming of the Lord. For the Lord could come. His coming is imminent. That every Christian is commanded to watch. Watch, watch, watch. He says it, and he says it again, and he says it again, and he says it again, and he says it again. Watch. So many times the Lord says, watch. Watch and pray. And the Lord wants us to watch and pray. For no man knows the day nor the hour when he shall come. Amen. Whatever Jesus taught about his second coming, the point of his message was always this. That his coming is to be sudden, unexpected, surprising, so that every Christian should be ready, for his coming could be at any moment. So Jesus taught his coming unexpected, surprisingly, no man knows. For he describes the thief came when they slept. And he says if they had knew he was coming, they'd have sat up and caught him, but they didn't. The thief came when none of them was waiting. The thief came when none of them was watching. And Jesus is telling all Christians, all believers, I'm going to come when you're not thinking about it. I'm going to come when nobody's expecting it. And at the very time people can be preaching, these things need to happen for the Lord to come. You need to do this before the Lord comes. Jesus could just come. There's no church that's telling them when he's coming. There's no pope telling them when he's coming. There's no organization telling them when he's coming. Only the Father in heaven knows when Jesus Christ will come. But there's one thing we know, this Bible's an absolute. And we know that he can swear by no greater, so he swore by himself in Hebrews 6, that by two immutable things, in which is impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation to lay hold on the hope set before us. In other words, Jesus will not change his word. He will stand by what he said, and he said he's coming. Ain't that great? Right. Now let's go back to Matthew. That's just my introduction. And I won't hold you as long this morning, I won't. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know that the angels of heaven, but my Father only. I knew when I quote that scripture, people say, well, you're saying only the Father knows where it's in the Bible. I've just read it. You say, how could Jesus not know? You remember that Jesus says, I only do what the Father shows me. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, so doth the Son likewise. That's why we do not believe in oneness like your finger. That's false teaching. And there's people believe in oneness like your finger. That's false teaching. And they believe that Jesus is his own Father, and they baptize in Jesus' name only, and they believe that the water baptism is on the regeneration. That's not the Bible. Water baptism is for a believer. You're saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Water doesn't save you. It's just an act of obedience. Amen. And you know there's three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Absolutely. Amen. Not one lick your finger. God was in Christ. But you know God never died on the cross, but Jesus did.
Amen.
And Jesus slept the boat. The Bible says God neither slumbers nor sleeps.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says it's a mystery.
Yes. Amen.
And you hear William Branham saying the church is spooky. He says when you think you've it all figured out, you've missed it.
Amen.
He says it's by revelation, not learning. Only God can show you anything by revelation, never by learning. Thank God for His mercy. Look at this, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now you can take this, verse 38. For as the days of Noah that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered into the ark. Now I've read this, I don't know how many times. I've related things to it that I thought, and someone hit me this morning. Just this morning. I studied it yesterday, everything ready, but this morning I read it again, something hit me. This marrying and giving and marrying simply means people continued on and they had no concern about the Lord's coming. You don't need to add nothing in here to make it sound, you know, they were super this way or super that way. It just means people just get on with life and it came when they didn't think it. They were just getting on with things. And the Lord suddenly came when they least expected it. Everything seemed to be running smooth and He came when they least expected it. Verse 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if a good man of the house had known, and he relates to that story I told you, that the feast coming in the night. Now let me go down for the sake of time, verse 50. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him. So the Lord is coming in a day when he looketh not for him. We are living in a world today that's no desire to look for the Lord. But my father said this, I've heard other preachers say it, the right attitude of any true Christian should be looking for the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is imminent. These are the teachings of Jesus. Jesus here saying that you won't know when, that the least expected time is going to come. So when everybody says, we saw this sign and could be true, all that could be right, that still does not mean you know when he's coming. You know you're in the season. We know that. We're in the season, but how long is it? Then people will argue over a season. Then you bring the generation, and this generation shall not pass away. Now one fella said it was 10, one fella said it's 50. But I have a better one than that. How many knows the scripture I'm referring to? That this generation shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. Jesus said that. Well, 50 years has come and went. But if you house, if you ticket this kind of people, and you can, and some Bible scholars do, then it fits. But the point is, you don't know when. That's the point. Mathematics have took this Bible and they've worked it out. There's people that work with numbers. Lee Beale was a man that could work with numbers and calculate. And you'll hear William Branham in some of his sermons saying, now you think I calculated by numbers. And he says, it's not that. How many's ever heard him say that? Lee Beale worked with numbers. And there's Bible students that work with numbers, but that won't work. You can figure all that out and still fail, because nobody knows when. You see what I'm saying? Not that Tobit, William Branham, what he said. He said it's not numbers, it's revelation. But the Lord is coming when no one's thinking about it. Now we know we're living in the days of Noah. and a repeat of history. We know we're living in an evil time. Look, they're wanting to legalize murder in our country. And there's politicians sitting with smug gums on them. That's the only way I can describe it. Smug gums on them. And they think this is a great thing that they're pushing these things through. But they're against, that's against the word of God. Murder. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. And you know in Lot's days, Sodom and Gomorrah, man with man, working that thing, Paul says, that's unseemly. Now, what about this television, this fella on television, I won't mention no names, over in England, you can guess who it is, but he challenged the view of some people recently, and they demanded he be sacked. Because they're claiming they've no identity, whether they're male or female. They've no identity. And they're claiming there's 100 different identities. Well, there was only one for me. And there's only one for you. And that's all I need to say about it. And anything else, that's a spirit. That is actually an unclean devil. That's a demon power. And that's a sign of the days we're living in. And the Lord's coming and he's told us all these things. In verse 36, but off that day and hour knoweth no man. I want us to keep with this subject now. There's many things I could go off here on a trail. I don't want to. Verse 36, but off that day and hour knoweth no man. This is the point. Jesus could come today. Verse 44, therefore be ye ready, for in such an hour you think not. Oh, I tell you, our man knows exactly when the Lord will come. He doesn't. Because he's not the Father. He doesn't know. Look when the Lord Jesus teaches about the 10 virgins, how he closes the parable. And we know the story of the 10 virgins, but I want to point out how he closes the parable in verse 13 of Matthew 25. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now he warns them about the oil, and you know the story that they all started well. But the oil ran out. But some of them got oil. But some of them didn't get oil. And the 5 got oil and they were ready. And the 5 never got oil, and they went to the ones with oil and said, give us some of your oil. And they said, not so, less than that be enough for us. Now you can identify that down to the hour. And you'll hear Brother Branham mention them things. And he explains them well. But the thing is, he's coming when they're not thinking about it. And you know the word, there's another scripture says, the Lord delayeth his coming. No, he doesn't. The Lord delayeth his coming. How many knows the scripture says that? God has given every chance to this world. Every chance. The fact that you're hungry to pray for someone, the Lord give you that. The fact that you're hungry to win a soul, the Lord give you that. The fact that you want to see people saved, the Lord give you that. That hunger, that desire. This world's without excuse. And one day it's going to be over and Jesus is going to come. Jesus could come today.
Glory.
I want you to remember when you leave this church this morning, these words in your ears. Jesus could come today.
Right.
Want you to remember next week, Jesus could come today.
Right.
The Lord's coming.
Glory.
Luke 12, verse 38 to 40. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Verse 39. And know this, that the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come. he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. Be therefore also ready, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour ye think not. The most important thing here is when it's least expected. Now, if I can bring you a message that sets things in place to say, you're ready now that you've done what I've told you, that's not what he says. I can't do that. I can preach you the word of God to prepare you. I'm not saying that. Don't misunderstand me. I believe if you're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, you're ready. But I do not believe there's a set of things we can do that'll prepare this world and the Lord will take them all. If we could, we better do it. But Jesus says when the least expected, he's going to come. Even to the Christians. So many Christians were asleep. The 10 virgins prove that.
Yes,
the Lord's coming. Now let me tell you what I've wrote here. There's only one honest meaning is possible in these scriptures. Jesus may come today. That's it. Jesus may come today. Now here's another thought, and I'm closing on this. I told you I wouldn't be long. His imminent second coming is illustrated by Jesus. It's illustrated by Jesus. So Jesus taught us as a doctrine. Now he illustrates it. He taught it and he illustrates it. This is important. There's so many things people preach that the Lord never preached. There's so many things people say and the Lord never said. But we ought to preach the things Jesus preached. We ought to believe the things Jesus taught us to believe.
Yes.
Born again is one.
Yeah.
Jesus preached been born again. People say, oh, you believe that born again stuff? Yes, because the Lord believed it.
Yes.
Now listen, how precious this doctrine is to the Savior and how important to his disciples we can see by the way he repeated and illustrated it. Notice the illustrations that the Savior gave. The second coming will be like the flood in the days of Noah. Jesus gave that as an illustration. He illustrated Noah's ark to the second coming. Illustrated Noah's ark. Now closing this bit this morning, in a moment, I won't go past this. 100 years, Noah built the ark. Now we know that Noah preached, but let's say he didn't. The fact that Noah built the ark, everybody knew about it. The neighborhood around could see Noah building the ark. 100 years it took. It was the talk of the country. Now I'll get to the Titanic in a moment. Just to show something. Noah built the ark for 100 years. Now I haven't the time this morning and last night. But you could take the time, I think our brother Mark preached about it, you could take the dimensions of the ark, the size of the ark, the width of the ark, the height of the ark, how much it weighed. But it took a long time to build it, it's not right. And there was just Noah and his family. Only 8 souls were saved. Why was only 8 souls saved? Do you remember when our brother Beecham preached the message, what he showed, he talked about, he did it in America as well. He said, imagine you saw Noah's missionary report. As far as the church goes today, they would say Noah was a failure as a missionary. I was listening to a sermon this week, several, but just yesterday, and William Branham saying that what's wrong today is people are going for numbers. And they think because they're getting numbers, that's it. But he says you've missed it. It's not about how many members you can get into your organization. It's about getting people to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not into a group or an organization. It's getting people to Jesus Christ is important.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how big what group is or fellowship is or organization is. It's getting people to Jesus Christ. It's no man's kingdom. It's God's kingdom.
Amen.
We're working for his kingdom.
Glory.
We don't pray this kingdom over here or here. It's the Lord's kingdom. But people are so concerned about numbers. But you think of Noah's mission report. What numbers did he? How many were converted this year? None. Year 2, none. At the end of year 10, no conversions. Year 20, no conversions. 100 years of no conversions. Only 8 souls saved. But he was in God's will for 100 years. Want you to get that now. Don't think you have to do this or do that. You say, brother, you're making an excuse. No. Let's look at the scripture. There's people think because they're working at something, they're doing good. You might not be. You have to be in God's will. If it's God's will for you to do what you're doing, keep at it.
Amen.
I know it's in God's will. How many believe that? Noah was in the perfect will of God. No, Noah didn't make an effort. Noah preached faithfully. And the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. Not only did Noah preach faithfully, Noah worked with his hands and he built the thing God told him to build. Noah was faithful. He did his best. It wasn't Noah's fault to die. It wasn't Noah's fault to perish. But people could blame Noah. And they could say, Noah, whatever you're doing or whatever way you're going about it, it's not working. But Noah was doing what God said.
That's right.
God knew that wouldn't come.
Amen.
And he knew who would come.
Right.
And he told Noah, just you continue on.
Right.
Amen. 120 years. Ain't that something? Everybody could see Noah building the ark. Everybody was a talk of the country. The second coming will be like the flood in the days of Noah. Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving and marrying, until the day Noah entered in the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of Son of Man be. You go on one of these programs and you get these people on, you cannot argue with them. I'm not saying I agree with that television presenter, but I do agree with him over who he was talking about. Let me say that. I'm in agreement with him. But the man was talking sense. They weren't. But because he didn't agree with them, then he should be sacked, fired. He was no good. So today, homosexuals are not happy that they're homosexuals, but they want to rub your nose in it and my nose in it. And if we don't agree with them, we're homophobic, we're this, we're that, we're someone else. But all along it's wrong. And I tell you, it's something, it's right of the wire. We are living in a time like the days of Noah. We are living in a time like the days of Lot. And Jesus could come today. Now listen to this. The fact of the coming flood had been clearly foretold. For 100 years, Noah had been building an ark and preparing for the flood. You may be sure that everybody in the inhabited portion of the earth knew of God's warning. You could no more keep the ark a secret. Just like here in Ireland, in Belfast, when they built the Great Titanic. In 1909, when they built the Titanic, do you think people didn't know about it? They didn't know about it. It was a talk of this country. Everybody in Ireland knew about the Titanic. They knew about the building of the Titanic. They knew about how they blew about it and boasted about it. And it was one of the greatest ships ever built in this country. We even know that. I want you to think of this here this morning. That's 100 years ago. When you think of the ship they did build 100 years ago. People talk about what we can do today. Look what they did then. I knew men worked in the shipyard. I knew them. And they're old men that lived over the road from me. I don't know, maybe not back that far. but they worked in the shipyard anyhow. You know how many people worked in the shipyard? Anybody figure a guess? 14,000. Do you know how many worked on the Titanic? 3,000. Now, Noah, 120 years, but there's only Noah and his sons building that ark. 3,000 on the Titanic. Anybody know how long it took them to build it? 2 years, 10 months, 2 days. 2 years, 10 months, and 2 days it took to build the Titanic. I was looking for William there because he knows more about it than me. These fellas learned at school. See, these young ones know all about it. Do you know the name of it? The other name, not the Titanic name. Does anyone know the name of the Titanic? If William comes up, he knows it. I can't even remember. But it really wasn't the Titanic. There was a name for it. They named it the Titanic. But there was another name. We need youth on board. But isn't these interesting facts? The Titanic keel was laid on the 31st of March 1909. She was launched on the 31st of May 1911, and her sea trial took place on the 1st of April 1912. A total of 2 years, 10 months, 2 days. 3,000 men worked on her, and 14,000 men were employed at Harland Wolff shipyard at the time. Wasn't that something? This country was booming. I'm telling you, now I know I'm talking before myself, but yous that's older than me know that I'm telling the truth. And the shoe factory in Bonbridge here made the shoes, and the people who go down into the town and spend part of their wages, and Bonbridge was booming. Now the Titanic passengers that were lost when the ice struck her, 1,500. 1,500 people perished, and 705 were saved. I looked up the weight of it this morning. I've forgotten it now, because I had so much stuff in my head. But I'm telling you, it was heavy. But what I'm making the point is, even if Noah never preached the word, people knew something was happening. And when they built the Titanic in this country, people in this country knew something was happening. And yet Noah's watching of the ship being built and Noah's preaching was ignored. And then one day God said to Noah, come in. Come in. You can read it in Genesis chapter 6. And you'll read also that the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And if you go back a little bit before that, go back into the chapters in Genesis, there's some powerful things in there. You will read these words. God's Spirit shall not always strive a man. God was grieved at man's sin. And as even the scripture says, it repenteth the Lord that he made man. And Noah found grace. And I'm coming to close. Noah himself didn't even know when the door of that ship would be closed. But the Lord knew. And I tell you, God gives it to no preacher to know when. Amen. And when preachers set dates and set programs and put people in bondage, it's not God.
That's right.
A preacher's commanded to preach the word.
Amen.
That's it. Leave the rest with God. Sow the seed. Noah did his part. I tell you, it's going to be something. Jesus could come today. Just imagine we mightn't get home today. Think of this for a moment. Noah entered into the ark. And God closed the door. She never moved for 7 days. Not one drop of rain for 7 days. Surely that's a sign. You could type that right out. Seven church ages and all them different things. You could type it right down. We are living in the last days. And Jesus could come today. I'm not going to go into the rest of this. Jesus could come today. Think of the people we know that's not saved. Now you say, brother, I have a desire. God give you that. You should be glad God give you that. The main thing's be ready. Let's stand our feet as the musicians come. With every head's bowed, every eye closed. I believe the Lord's talking to every one of us, me as well. How sincere are we? How really realistic are we that Jesus could come today? How are we living for the Lord? I tell you, it'll happen. And things will continue on in this world. And the bride of Jesus Christ will be gone. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you this morning for your word of truth. We pray and bless your word to all of our hearts. Father, we would sincerely pray if there's a man or a woman listening in to this service that knows you not as their Lord and Savior. Father, may the Holy Spirit work on them. May they turn to Christ today. For your word declares it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we would earnestly pray for our sons and our daughters, for our aunts and our uncles, for all that's near and dear to each and every one that's represented in this house today. Lord, we would pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would grant them grace. Lord, that you would open their understanding to the saving knowledge of the truth, and that Jesus could come today. Help us be ready, Lord, for that near event. For this we sincerely ask and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Remember, we'll continue on the night. The Lord bless you. God bless you.